everyone. This is Jocelyn, and welcome to this edition of Leap. My guest to joining me today is Noah Mittman. And Noah is the founder and CEO of Snowman Films. He is a full-time filmmaker, video marketing coach, family man, and entrepreneur, and needs to cut his beard. Or no, sorry. You said you're taking good care of
his beard. Just cut my beard. I just cut it. Yeah, I shaved. Especially for you.
Thanks. He believes that video is the most effective way to deliver a message and is on a mission to bring the best out of you through your video content. He knows that you're the best already, great, and he wants the world to see you and your message ever even more effectively. You're on video away from the changing of the course of your business and your life. And so, Noah, thank you so much for joining me today. I know that we have had a little chat prior to going live today, a little bit about what's happening, what's changing in the world, given that we're all sort of home and in new working environments. So first and foremost, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, typically I start with conversations of like what inspired you to get started, but I really want to jump into like what's happening right now. I mean, here we are. Yeah. Of Corona, and I know I'm seeing a lot more video. In fact, you know, I'm part of that right equation. I kicked off my own YouTube channel all of 3 weeks ago. So
I'm so proud of you. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Good job. And yeah, I mean, that's a thing that the main focus of my message right now is that this is the time to start creating and start making content, and especially video content, because just as you said in my intro, this, you know, video is the most effective way to deliver a message, especially online. And this is really, online is where everybody is now, and will continue to be as we do the, what did Pola say, the dimmer of society coming back. It's probably gonna take a while. This is the new way of marketing, I think, is digital. And for me at least, video is the king of digital marketing, because people get to see your face, they get to hear your voice, they get to see what you're about, and a really authentic version of who you are, the most so of any medium, because it's actually you being on camera if you want, or just, you know, the best version of your message. So, I think this is the time for creators to double down. And if you are not a creator, to become a creator, because this is the game.
Statement. I think we all are creators.
There you go. Exactly.
And, you know, I'm challenged with that because I have many friends who are artists, who are quote unquote artists. I mean,
right.
Who are really, you know, producing, you know, print work.
Sure. So like the type of creator.
And even they'll say, you know, they talk to people creating and saying, oh, well, I'm not creative because I'm a mathematician. Well, there is a beauty.
100%. There are so many types of creativity. Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree with that. And I should, so good. I will amend my statement then. That's very true. Now is the time to start creating video content if you haven't already. So even painters or artists or photographers doing, so say like a painter. You have, you know, your finished work, which is great, but being able to make, say, a video time lapse, like a sped up time of you creating it, is something that would be a really cool piece of content that also gives context on your process and the skill and how much time you put into it and all of that. It's storytelling. This is the time for storytelling, for whatever people are doing.
I agree wholeheartedly. And that is sort of, I mean, that's been the premise of my show from the beginning is storytelling. You know, the basis of this program really began as what inspires people to take a leap of faith in creating their own life and their own business.
Yeah.
And really, it's interesting because I will say on the upfront, I didn't quite see it as the story. I just knew that to me it was like, oh, someone's going to share with them their journey, like share with us their journey. Mm-hmm. What was that point of inspiration or that moment? And it's sometimes it's a moment, sometimes it's just over a course of time and it's a journey. It's a story.
Yeah. Well, and that's really storytelling is what, you know, that's what brought me into my career was a love of movies. And I'm obsessed. I watch I literally, like, if I have a day off, which is sometimes rare, I try to take weekends off, but it's been a little hectic the last couple weeks because, anyway, but I will literally watch like 2 or 3 movies a day because I just, that's just what I enjoy doing. So like that's what everybody I think is leaning on right now is your streaming service, your Netflix, your Hulu, your Disney Plus, all these things for some escape because the world is going crazy right now. And I think it's really important to realize and just take a step back from in your life right now and realize like who you're turning to in these times of chaos and insanity is creators and makers and artists and people that are really putting their souls into what they're doing. Because it's funny, because I feel like generally in society, we feel like that's a more, it's not a real job, quote unquote, or, you know, blah, blah, like stuff like that. It's people don't take it seriously as a career path or as, you know, your uncle at Thanksgiving who doesn't understand what you do and like, you know, having to explain it to him. But like, this is where everybody is leaning on and going to and relying on to keep their sanity during this pandemic.
I hear two things as you just shared that. One is point of joy.
Yeah.
Right? Or following more joy. Or hopefully that's a possibility.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to spend more time seeking joy.
Yes. And two, connection. And that could be a connection to those around you, other humans around you, or more connection within yourself.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's humans, we need connection. That's what makes us inherently human. And that's why this quarantine has been so hard, is because we can't have that person-to-person connection that we normally have. So the ability to connect with stories and connect with basic human things within storytelling, that is, I think, a thing for especially entrepreneurs to really focus on is, you know, don't be transactional with, say marketing-wise. Don't be like, do this deal and I'll, you know, this is how I made $100,000 and I'll show you the way. It's more of like, be authentically you and tell your story, focus on storytelling and what stories you have to tell. And when you do that, then the people that are interested will find you and there will be business that comes out of it because, you know, having a call, some sort of call to action, just like a get in touch or email or, you know, talk with us more. But I think it's super, super important to double down on storytelling.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful that you brought those points up, because when I, like, for instance, when I kicked off this show in 2019, although I started recording in 2018, from the beginning, I always met all of my guests via Zoom.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And there are all sorts. I mean, there are other mediums in which you can record, of course. And at the time, you know, season one was purely audio. At least that was the feed. And I will say that I had many a conversation with my producer about that, because obviously the audio is a lesser quality when you use Zoom and you have other options. And I said, yeah, here's the thing. When I want to record with people outside of the Denver metro area, I want to be able to see their faces.
Right.
There's so much more that you get to gain from that part, that you have the audio part and you have the visual. And so we went back and forth and I mean, obviously it's my show, so I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Right. And he was very kind about it. In fact, I've already asked him to be on my show, so he'll be a
few.
So that might be part of a conversation itself. But, you know, the reality was that I just knew that for me, there was more, there was more context.
Exactly. The video provides context, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much to that.
Yeah. And so share with me, I'd like to really start, because I do want to go back. What was your journey even to discover this for yourself? That this is your thing.
It's funny because I literally just, I'm currently actually uploading my first podcast to Anchor. As we speak,
yay!
The show is called Video Marketing Mastery, and episode one is my origin story. So this is very, I've just gone down this rabbit hole a little bit, which is perfect timing. I've always loved movies, and I think part of why I'm so obsessed with them is that I didn't have a TV in the house for the first 12 years of my life.
Really?
And yeah, so like I grew up in La Jolla, California for the first 12 years. And yeah, we were in a little redwood forest cabin. The only time that I actually was able to watch anything was when I had an eye injury and couldn't move my eye. So they knew that if they put a TV in there, I would just stare at it. But we finally got a TV when we moved to Moraga, California. And I remember I was so happy. The first movie that I ever watched on it actually was Singing in the Rain. And that is still like such a dear movie to me because it was, I mean, it's an amazing movie. It's a classic. And it was my first like dive into watching movies at home. Like I just have been obsessed. So I was watching the behind the scenes one afternoon, the featurette for The Matrix. Mm-hmm. And saw just all these people on set of the movie, and I was like, oh my god, like there's a career path here. Like it's all these names in the credits when they roll, like those are people that are working, and that would be the coolest job ever, to work on movies. So obviously, like, I wasn't in LA or New York, and so I started making stuff, and I eventually got into parkour and started making parkour videos pretty consistently. And then that's kind of what I was having fun with friends doing flips and making videos and just kind of experimenting really and like kind of getting my voice. And then I was working on a project in 2012 and my buddy tells me, like, we're in this emptied out basketball court with all the lights off doing this super stylized like movement piece where he's basically just doing flow on this like balance beam from the gymnasium. Super, super creative stuff. Brian Taylor, he's awesome. We're like halfway through shooting and he's like, you know that you're good enough to do this professionally, right? And I was just like, oh my God. Like, okay. So literally like that night I went home and I was like brainstorming over, company names and all that, and my sister's nickname for me was Snowy Mittens, which turned into Snowman. So Snowman Films was then born, and I started reaching out for freelance stuff, and it was really, it's weird, like, I'm gonna go a little bit woo-woo and spiritual on this, but
go for it, that's totally my thing.
Like, the work started coming, like I shot my cousin's wedding as like the first project that I was like paid for. And then after that, I just met the right people at the right times and said yes at the right times. And like the work started coming in. And since 2012, which is when I founded the company, like I've been working, a lot of those years were freelance and just like basically like working with when other jobs came in from other production companies. So I'd get gigs from other videographers or directors or whatever. And it was consistent enough to where I could pay bills consistently. And it took, you know, a couple of years to get there. But every single time, like down to the day sometimes when rent was due, it would come in and it would work. So I believe what the woo-woo part of that is when you're on the right path, the world opens up for you and makes you like it. And it like, it happens so consistently that like I can't ignore it. Like it just keeps happening, and to not follow that and keep going with that is not was. And like I feel like I don't know, the path speaks to you, and if you don't follow it, your life starts to suck.
Yeah, I mean that's a very concise way of putting it. I'm gonna go on the positive route.
Yeah,
when you recognize the opportunities that are opening up for you and you choose to follow it, also recognize what's happening within you.
Yeah, right.
Like, so for you, you know, you said all these, you know, opportunities, these invitations for more work, the money showing up when it did, just the opportune time. What did you start to see shift around you or within you?
Just following it and just being the best version of myself personally and professionally. Like I would always just do, I mean, I can't do bad work. It's not in me. Like that's, I wouldn't even not feel right about it. I just won't, like if I can't do a good job on something, I don't do it. Mm-hmm. So really, it like made me be the best version of myself as a filmmaker and as a, you know, entrepreneur. And because of that, the reputation was built and the way that I treat people is built and all of that just kind of kept going. So it really, when you're on the right path, it pushes you to be the best version of yourself as well.
Yeah.
Which is what you should be doing.
I'd agree. And I'm going to take that one more step with that.
Yeah, go for it.
I see this with any of my guests when we really start talking about what lights their fire and lights them up and why, like their origin story, to use your words.
Yeah, yeah.
Your posture changes. Mm. Everyone's posture changes, and I'm doing it myself, and I know that I'm recognizing it, because it does it for me too. Like this is my thing, right? Storytelling and sharing stories. You stand up straighter. You sit up straighter.
Yeah.
Your vibe starts to open up. You start to smile. I'm a feeler, right? So for mm-hmm. me, I feel the joy within me start to rise and just sort of envelop within my body and my being. And so however you iterate that out,
exactly.
I think that's the piece that I think it's so important for us to listen to, because then you know.
It's energy.
Like, yeah. It's like a check.
You follow the energy.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's fire.
Okay. Talk about that.
Like I don't know. It might be one of the next tattoos that I want to get. Actually, well, I'm getting a Colorado half sleeve first, and then I might get just like a campfire. Cause it both for me, fire is, what gets me up excited at 5 a.m. every day to go like make stuff and work. And, meditation for me when I'm out camping with my family, of I can literally build a fire and just stare at it for hours and just be like chill and relaxed and not thinking about stuff. So fire is like, there's like I have a yin yang on my back actually, because it's very much that like, high energy and low energy kind of for me. And,
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, to me, it's being in line and in alignment.
Yeah.
With your purpose.
Alignment is huge.
All have it. Yeah. Talk about that. Cause I know we talked a little bit about, you know, right. What was your life before you actually started your business? And and I'm going to drop a little bomb for a second. I know it's not in the conversation.
No, go for it.
But you talked about parkour. Well, I want to talk about parkour for a minute.
That's right. That's right.
And cause I think that'll generate to like what you were doing before and what you're doing now. Talk about what happened with your parkour and what sort of came from that.
What came from that?
So just the video piece.
If you're listening to this, you can just have fun. If you're watching this, you may have recognized me potentially, because I trained parkour for, I'm still doing flips. I'm still technically training, but just not as much. I'm trying to think the years. I don't remember the years, but I was training for a long time and had friends that ended up being on the show American Ninja Warrior. And like, I literally would go to like watch parties where we just have like, you know, 20 free runners in a room and like cheer on as like the three guys that were featured on the episode, like were there with us and just like, oh my God, that's so cool. You're on TV. And so I realized like, oh my God, I'm, you know, seeing all these friends that like, I don't see a lot and I could go hang out with if I try out for the show. And I sent in my submission and I got accepted for 3 seasons straight. Before I tapped out. I was on seasons 4 through 6 of American Ninja Warrior. Probably the best known, my roommate for several years was Lauren Ball, who I think has the record for the most times of the fastest time in city qualifiers. He's a ninja. He's been on literally every single season. He's obsessed with it. It's awesome. But I was roommates with him. And when I was on the show, we did this whole disco twin kind of shtick where we were both in like these shiny silver suits dancing around. And that's my little claim to fame. I got my, so they skip around you. Unless you're like a bigger name or like you do really well, they generally skip you on the show. So it's like this really big deal if you can at least even get FaceTime on it. So I did get, I got FaceTime as well as a nameplate that said Noah Mittman, filmmaker. And I hit my one buzzer in the first year and then I couldn't get back. to that same buzzer, because it's really hard if nobody knew.
It looks that way. Of the few episodes I've turned into, and I'll be honest with you, I'm going to take a little personal note for it. Well, I do love it.
Yeah.
I will be sharing, before we probably actually go live with this show, I will actually probably be sharing this with my nephew, because he is obsessed with American Ninja.
He'll know Lauren Ball.
He's going to think it's so awesome that I talk to an actual warrior. So you may actually get a request for like a signature at some point.
I will be honored. my one ninja warrior signature, like autograph opportunity.
Hey, you know? Yep.
Well, I love it. And here's the thing, like the reality of it too is, and why I'm not doing it anymore, is that I was on it for 3 seasons and I never, my run. So it's a night shoot. They say that it's live. It's not. They pre-record everything. They literally like make you do, there's audience reactions. There's all the stuff that they like direct while, because by the way, for anybody that loves reality TV, it's not reality. Sorry. It's all directed. It's all scripted. Blah, blah, blah. Coming from a professional in the industry, sorry about that. I know you want the Kardashians to say what they say, but the Kardashians are worse. Anyway,
we may edit that part out.
Get rid of that. Nobody needs to hear that. But no, so I never, it was a night shoot because of all the stylized lighting and the smoke and all that stuff, is you can't get that stuff during daylight. So I never ran on the course before 3 a.m. This last season, when Drew won and was climbing up the rope, that was filmed just before sunrise. Like literally it's all night. It is. And that's why he won, is because he changed his training to train at night. So, but it is the most brutal experience for the athletes, because it's like, hey, you know, go train your ass off for a year and try really hard. And then your shot at amazing and fame and all this stuff and money is in the middle of the goddamn night. Literally, like ninja, like the contestants sleep. They show up and they go to sleep, because then they wake up for their run, and you have to deal with nerves. It's just, it's an insane experience. And I just, after the third season of being on it, I was like, the stress of this and like the nerves and the exhaustion outweighs the fun of seeing friends and that whole thing. But the community around Ninja Warrior is incredible. There are hundreds of Ninja Warrior gyms across the US and the world now, and there are leagues, and there are, you know, all these amazing resources. We've done a lot of work for the Wolfpack Ninjas. They're doing amazing, amazing stuff. Watch out for their, let's see, I'm not sure if I can talk about it yet. I didn't sign an NDA, so we should be good. They're working on Ninja Warrior playgrounds across the
US,
which would be really cool, yeah. So with Kaboom on that, we just got done shooting this last summer for that. So, but there's like this whole community of like the most open, fun, playful, hardworking, talented people that are, you know, from the show, but are really like this incredible community. So really got to do a big shout out on that. One of our best clients is the Ninja Gym Ninja Nation, who are planning to franchise across the US right now. And it's like, it's this wave right now of success, because the show started it, so Ninja became like a household name. Everybody knows it. So now there's this amazing like movement of people that are having Ninja as a sport, and it's fun. It keeps you in shape, obviously, and I'm all for it. I love it.
Yeah, and yet I feel like you received two discoveries through that process, right? Because it started as parkour, and it's it was something you were enjoying doing, right? It's just joy. Go ahead.
Yeah. I will say real fast too, because the parkour community would eviscerate me. Is Ninja Warrior and parkour are two separate things. Very, very much so. Ninja is on the course, upper body, like a lot of like, it's over water, you know, over water, or, you know, in a gym or whatever on a course. Parkour is the art of movement. It is creative. It is flowing. It is flips. It is having fun and being, it's like a expression of your creativity through movement in your body. So that, yeah. So, but yes, both of them for me spark joy 100%.
Yeah. Well, that, so like, even though there is, you know, they're very different, that took like one avenue and took you to a TV, you know, to be able to be a competitor. And then also, because you were filming it, discovered this love and joy and talent around what you ended up creating for yourself? Because what was life like before you really started your business? Because you and I talked about that, and that's what, you know.
I'm trying to think. Like, I was, before parkour, parkour really built me into the person that I am. Because otherwise I was just this kind of all over the place ADHD kid that likes movies and, you know, pays attention slightly in school and I needed an outlet. I needed something to do. And I think one of the first videos I ever made was a parkour video. So like I saw it on YouTube and I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And that was like parkour and filmmaking kind of like started hand in hand and like went forward. So like all my experimentation and all my just like the just make stuff attitude, instead of like, it has to be this masterpiece that you work for so long on. Like I was really built on the YouTube generation of content of just like make stuff, get it out, do the next thing. And I'm very proud of what I put out and I put a lot of effort into it, but it's also not, you know, this will be the film that shall launch me into the festivals and make me a Scorsese. Like, I'm just internet generation. And it really, it allowed me to create on that level and try stuff out, which I have, you know, just gotten better at over the last 14 years.
Yeah. I also think something that sort of sparked me as I'm listening to you is, you know, yes, I mean, I've got a little bit of years on you, I believe. And, you know, we talk about producing and putting it out, right? And I feel like right now, especially the space that we're sitting in, is there is that level of production put out, and there's a lot more, I think there's a lot more content being created in this space than the time that we're in, that we're home and looking and seeking new creative outlets or seeking ways to continue to create while we're in this sort of space of quieter.
Yeah.
I'm curious your thoughts about what you're seeing as far as the end results, the end work. And I put that in the scope of, you know, we've had these generations of programming, TV programming, where you see highly produced content, and now you see like Jimmy Fallon like
right
doing edits from or Stuff doing from video shoots in his tree in his front yard.
Yeah.
Like, so what are some of the observations you're seeing right now of how that's sort of shifting?
I think it's like this permission for anybody who's scared of starting or like thinking about starting to actually start, because as you said, like some of the top entertainers right now, like Fallon, like all the late night hosts are literally doing DIY stuff shot on their phones by their spouses. Like it's like,
I love it.
There's no barrier to entry officially anymore. And there never was, but like now nobody's, especially now in these coming months here, there's no expectation of quality. So they be, and the main reason I think that it's so powerful is that it gives anybody listening or watching the permission to just be themselves and put it out, because literally Jimmy Fallon is recording shit in his tree. Like, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. They just want to know who you are, why you do what you do, what you care about. Just like get to know. And that's what video is for. That is the best video in how to rise above the noise. Is authentic video that, you know, really speaks to what you care about and what you love and what you're good at. And that's the key. That is, and it's funny because it's like, you know, the most stereotypical thing to say of like, just be you. But it's so true.
It's funny. So I know that where this show is going to go and, you know, is going to be produced a couple of weeks from the day from right now when we're recording. Yeah. Yesterday, quite literally yesterday, I shot a short video of myself. So that's been a piece of my.
How was it?
As mine. I actually love it. So this is my comfort zone of being able to speak very plainly. And it used to not be at all, to be told, like, you know, if I went back to like my high school years, I was petrified of public speaking. I'm certainly not alone in that. And somewhere along the way, I discovered my voice. And then I was like, then I went back and forth. I like my voice, but I have something to say. I like having a platform, but do I really have anything to say? You know, the mind stuff that we do so nicely.
When I think you find what you need to say over time, that's actually something. So I literally, as I said, I just started the podcast today, but I've been doing the last 2 days, I'm starting to go live on Facebook every 5 days a week. And some of it is literally just going to be, what was I up to today? What problem am I working through in my business right now? Like, it's that kind of Seinfeld, it's about nothing but everything at the same time, documenting, because you have to, here's the other thing to think about too, when you're starting out, and if you're scared about starting out or whatever, you're uncomfortable, think about this. Say you do this for a year straight. You do as much consistent content as you can. And some, you know, you're going to get a following over that if you're doing it consistently, especially like 5 days a week, which is a lot. I know what I've bitten off here. It's intense, but this is my play to like double down on this right now is when you have the platform eventually and people are like looking up to you and like seeing you as an expert and seeing you as somebody that's like doing cool stuff. Those humble beginnings that are still live and still out there show that, like, essentially, like, you were human once, that you started, that you got out there and you were scared and you were awkward. And like, that growth is storytelling.
Yeah.
So, that's possible. And I can see that evolution. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yesterday, I actually, my message yesterday was just show up as you are.
Yeah.
And it, that's because honestly, that's what I was dealing with. That was what I was dealing with yesterday. My morning began. I woke up and I picked up my phone and I had a message waiting for me from a guest that we were meant to record, and he is working through some things right now, and said, like, look, I need to hold space, or I need to just sit in this for right now. So I want to stay focused on that. And so we'll reschedule. Right. And it, honestly, the first time I first read it and I took it very personally, knowing the four agreements, knowing not to take anything personal, I did anyway. And I knew it wasn't mine, right? It was just his. And that spun my day to canceling other things later in the day, because it hit me very deeply, because there are things that I was working on. And then there was I had an appointment in the afternoon and I was going to cancel again, right? Mm-hmm. And I had a minute before we were about to go into this meeting, and my friend shows up, and I was like, I'm going to cancel. And she's like, well, what's going on? She just took a moment to ask me. So an hour and a half later, I was like, oh my God, this is it. I have to show up as I am.
Yeah.
And give myself permission.
Yeah.
So give yourself permission, forgive your past, forgive yourself of whatever past traumas or things that you're holding on to. And then it just sort of spun from there, because my segment, yes, this is my show and I love it dearly. In fact, this gives me such great joy. The other piece of this is my coaching practice, and I coach, and I've been struggling this. I say struggling because it was just me fighting myself. I've always known my ideal client.
Right, right. And that's a big part. That's a big, not fighting your work is a huge, huge thing.
But for me, my work, because my origin story is finally stepping into my own self, right? Mm-hmm. I walked away from a marriage that wasn't serving me. My fire was out, and I'm an Aries. And so, I'm a fire sign.
Yeah, right. You need it. Yeah.
I need it. So I've always known that my ideal client, the people that I have worked with, have always come to me and sought me out because they've had challenges in their romantic relationships. But that's my biggest trauma.
Right.
And it's terrifying. And yesterday I was like, I finally really identified why I was having the breakdowns and why I was still refusing it, even though it was showing up for me. And I was like, I gotta stop and reframe.
So that's the magic right there, right? Like it's always the hardest part that is the magic. So I know that in making this commitment to do lives 5 days a week and it's going to be Facebook Live. I'm going to be using that audio for podcasts. I'm going to be making Medium articles. Like, everything comes from that. I'm not going to have good days all days.
No.
And
that's not real.
Right, right. Like, you can put on a face, but like, I need to be okay with, and the journey in terms of storytelling in terms of being human, and that's what people actually are interested in. The hardest times to make stuff is when you're not feeling it, but just to power through that and just be like, okay, I'm going to talk about how I'm depressed today and like how I'm moving the business forward today in small ways. And like, those are human moments that is what authenticity is. So like the hard stuff to talk about, like for me, you know, some of my stories is having to, you know, being in the freelance world and then knowing that I had a kid on the way and wrapping my head around having to, my wife was going to stop working. She was a nanny and because she needed to, you know, recover for a bit. And I was like, okay, I need to like financially support my family for the first time. And that's fucking terrifying. And because I you know, I'm a creative and I'm committed to this. I have this tattoo on my arm. It's a aperture.
And so that's cool.
That commitment, it's a camera aperture. That is my commitment to make the majority of my income through video stuff. So I was terrified and I talk about, you know, I want to make six figures and I was really feeling lost and then like finding my way through that. Those are the stories that people want to hear. The hard stuff is what people want to hear because the, you know, the gurus on the top of the mountain or whatever have quote unquote figured it out. That is not attainable for everybody. That's not like seeing, you know, they can talk about their journeys or whatever, but like seeing that struggle and seeing the journey to go through and then to be able to like, they start rooting for your success, your audience. So this is why creating consistently and really doing video and being your, you know, getting your stories out there is so important because mm-hmm. it's documenting that journey, bringing them through with you. And then my God, when you have a win, you get the support. And when you have a rough day, you have people reaching out, like, because the consistency thing is what brings people in. Consistency in the beginning, and you know, this is for you, is to get in that habit of doing it. Then after however long it takes for you to build an audience, the consistency is for them so that they know that there's more, they know that, you know, to where to watch and listen to you. But in that, really in that beginning, and it may take a year of building, but like eventually if you stay with it long enough, the consistency piece is what makes or breaks success.
Yeah. I want to add one element though, that I think is central to all of this. And this is really, it's really about knowing yourself.
Yeah.
And loving yourself. And I know it sounds
accepting yourself.
Like we all say that. It's like the romanticized idea is, of course I love myself. Of course I bullshit.
On the hard days too.
Bullshit. We all have this going running stuck in our heads, right? And it's not always positive. You know, this is also an exercise, you know, to create the track that lifts you up, because this and this, when this is in alignment,
you're really
living into it, when you have those bad days, you can rely on yourself,
right,
to say, okay, it's just a moment, or it's a day, or it's a week, or whatever it is, and you know that the pendulum swing is coming back because you know who you are. And
exactly.
You.
And it's a tool, I feel like. Say you have a really depressed, and I know how depression goes. I have anxiety, depression sometimes, just like everybody. And, you know, more than some people. And the big thing for depressed or anxiety days is just getting something done. Like not getting everything done, because you can't, you just can't. I get that. Like you just don't have the energy. But for me now, if I'm like, okay, if I can just get this 15-minute Facebook Live done and stay consistent with that, I stay on track and I can do everything later, but it's just that one thing to do, that one thing to move you forward. And it helps you. Once you do that, then you can handle another thing. One thing, and then you can handle another thing. And it's, but if you were to say, I need to do 10 things today, there's no way in hell that you would get it done, because you're whatever's bothering you.
You might. I mean, if you said, right. I mean, like, let's just say you're in a great place, right?
Yeah.
And then you can. You
know, sure. But, well, yeah, I was talking about the bad days, like the bad days when you know. Yeah. So good days, yeah, I'll do, you know, when it's you work a 12, 14 hour day and you get so much done, you're just patting yourself on the back, like, good job. Those are amazing. And for the bad days, having that one thing to focus on to keep you moving forward, I think it's been a really good tool for me.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And that's something that I've learned as well. It's taking that inspired action.
Inspired action. I love that.
Yeah. Because it's one thing to take action. Mm-hmm. Yet we all know that we can get caught up in the busyness of things that aren't always producing towards your end result or towards your goal. So taking right. that inspired action that's actually working towards what it is that you're wanting, your desire, what you are accomplishing. And, yeah. and I say, not what you want to accomplish, what you are accomplishing. That's different.
It's like the being busy versus being actually productive.
Yes.
You're so busy, you're doing so much, but are you like actually moving yourself forward towards your goals and not just, you know, whatever. So I think that inspired action is really that productive piece of like, how is this actively moving me forward towards my goals? And does this light the fire in me to keep it going and be excited and keep moving towards that kind of North Star?
Yeah. So as a final thought, you know, as you, I know you've got a number of clients that you're working with right now. And let's just say, you know, for those of us who are inspired to take this next step, but yet we're sort of holding back, what's a point or a few points that you could share about taking that leap into starting your video profile or your,
Let's see. The first starting point, I would say, and this is this works perfectly with something that we're trying to promote right now, which is not a specific promotion for it, but just,
I had no idea, truly.
The first thing that I would say, especially if you're, you know, big, what I found for a lot of our clients as well as follower base is, entrepreneurs, business leaders, and creators. So getting into, so say, you know, you built your thing, you've built a profile or whatever, getting a 30-second commercial that represents who you are, what your business is about, what, you know, what your values are, all that stuff, getting a 30-second commercial that you're happy with, because anybody can pay attention for 30 seconds, to put out there, to put in your, here's some actionable ones. So you make that 30-second commercial and you put it in your email signature. Every email you send, you can have a, you know, for me, it's get to know Snowman Films in 30 seconds. You have it as your Facebook featured video on your fan page. You have it on your YouTube featured video. So there's all these places you can put it on your website, all this stuff. It's a short amount of time so that anybody can pay attention and not be, you know, because I see eyes glaze over a lot of times with people after about a minute. And again, this is where the plug works in perfectly. We are currently working and just about done with our first online course, which is the DIY 30-second commercial course. So we will help you to, no matter what camera setup, if you're just on a phone, that's fine. That's actually what we teach, is no matter where you are, to script, shoot, and edit and upload your 30-second commercial, so that you can take that first step into the content creation, the video marketing journey.
I love that. Yeah. Because that's, yeah, I think, and I, you know, as we started this before we started recording, I feel like right now, and we sort of mentioned it throughout, is there is so much content being produced.
Right. So get in the conversation. That's what that says to me. If you're scared because there's so much stuff being out, like being put out there, if you're not loud about it right now, you're never going to be loud about it. And you have to be loud about it. You have to be your own number one fan if you're going to actually succeed with this. So the conversation's getting louder, which that's what I call it, is the conversation online. Get in that conversation and start engaging, because people are listening right now.
Yeah, agreed. Noah, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. This was a blast.
Amazing conversation. I really enjoyed it tremendously. And I am very much looking forward to seeing how your stuff progresses. So thanks so much. Have a great one.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.